Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question, or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can speak to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Ian Anderson-Gray, teacher, speaker, specialising in live marketing. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Andy. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to.
Well, I'm based in Manchester in the UK, and I run a couple of businesses. So I run Select Performers with my dad. We're a family business, and we're a web agency. Mm-hmm. And we specialize in managing websites for clients who basically don't want to worry about any of the technical stuff. And the other thing that I do is I'm a confident live marketing coach. So I help people with going live, with the technical side of things, and also with helping them get over there, getting them a bit more confident with their live videos.
And I hear you're a singer as well.
Yeah, that's my background. So, yeah, I got a little bit confused in my late teenage years. I wasn't really sure what to do with my life. Like, I suppose many people are. But I was a bit of a geek. I loved technology, and I, you know, had one of these ZX Spectrum computers in my bedroom. And but I also was passionate about music. My mum was an opera singer, and I got to the end of school and I really wasn't sure what to do. Was I going to go down the techie science route, or was I going to choose music? And music won. I went to university to read music, and then I studied at the Royal Northern College of Music as a singer. So I've been teaching singing, and I've sung professionally, and I still do a little bit today, but these days my focus has changed a little bit more now. And in a way, this one of the things I realized is that for ages I wasn't sure, how do I amalgamate my passion for music and performance with technology?
Yeah.
And it's only really been the last couple of years that I realized, yeah, I can do that. It was actually, I was speaking at a big social media conference in the States, social media marketing world. And we did, a few of us came together and we put on a bit of a parody on networking on stage. And it was to the music of The Wizard of Oz. It was a musical on stage, and I was the shy, introverted one there who didn't want to talk to anyone. I was looking at my mobile phone, and I was doing If I Only Had a Brain. And I just suddenly realized, you know, this, I was able to communicate my passion for social media, but with music, and also with the, I mean, we'll probably talk about this, but with my whole entry into live video, I suddenly realized that I could combine two of my big passions together.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about the video thing in a minute, because that's one of your sort of specialities, but I just wanted to talk about something a bit more. I'm going to annoy the bloggers now. I almost said mundane. It's not really mundane. It's just a different form of content marketing, which is blogging, of course, sort of as part of content marketing. I know this is something that you've done a lot of. What do you think stops most people from starting a blog?
Well, I think I probably am an expert in answering this question, because for years and years, I never started my blog. I had so many false starts. I'm a failed blogger in a way, or I was to begin with.
Yeah.
And so I think there were the two main barriers that I struggled with, and to be quite honest with you, I still struggle with today, and that is perfectionism and procrastination. And I think they're related. You know, yeah. I had in my head that I needed to produce this amazingly perfect blog. And being a bit of a web developer as well, everything had to be technically there as well.
Yes.
And actually, in the end, I got so fed up with myself that I thought, I'm just going to launch a blog with a default WordPress theme. And I can't tell you how bad I felt. I can't do that. It just felt wrong. But I did it. And I'm so glad, because I didn't have to worry about any of the theme or the technical side of things. I just started writing.
Yeah.
And the great thing about WordPress, of course, is that, you know, you can change the theme later. And that's what I did. I changed it. And so I was able to communicate my message without thinking about that. And then, of course, the other thing is procrastination, which is probably related to, I was thinking of all the things that I needed to do.
Yeah.
All the little tiny things, instead of actually just communicating my message. And so I think that's the thing that a lot of people struggle with to begin with. They want everything to be perfect. And my advice to people really is just start blogging. Mm. Just do it. Just get on with it. It's not going to be perfect. And when I look back on my first couple of blog posts, I mean, they're kind of a bit embarrassing, but I started. And
yeah.
So yeah, and then I suppose there are other things that maybe stop people, but I think those are the two main reasons.
I know what you mean though, because I'm a developer as well, and I do code and I do HTML, and when you're like that, when you're sort of quite technical, but you're also a bit sort of more right brained, more sort of artistic and creative. There is a kind of a tendency to tinker with things that can be tinkered with, isn't there?
Oh yeah,
and you can get tinkeritis, and it just sort of stops you from doing anything.
I don't think that's bad. I mean, you know, Google famously had their 20% time, and I think we probably need to have a bit. If you're that way inclined, which it sounds like both of us are, you know, you need to give yourself that 20% time to tinker with that code, and that's not wrong. And tinker with things and play with things. And these days, you know, I've got my website hosted on where it has the ability to have a staging server, so I can tinker on that, and if it breaks, it doesn't matter.
Yes, yes.
So I think that's I think it's just getting that balance, really.
Yeah. And the other thing you mentioned, which I really relate to, is this whole notion of just start, even if it's not very good. I've got this phrase that I once put on Twitter. I'm not sure if we're allowed to swear on this podcast, but I'll spell the swear word out just in case we're not. My phrase, which I hope I become famous for and might be on my gravestone, is the secret to getting things really good is to make something shit and then progressively make it less and less shit.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
And with all forms of, you know, content, whether that's blogging or live video, you know, to be quite honest, to begin with, it probably is going to be, you know, expletive, insert expletive there. You know, it's going to be not as good as it will be the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh time, but you've got to start somewhere. And I think, you know, when you listen to podcasts, for example, and usually the first couple are not always that great,
yeah.
You know, because the person doing it is finding their feet and working things out. But we forgive them and we stick with them, because usually it's the passion and the content that gets us to listen, you know, yeah. And if things aren't perfect, does that really stop you from engaging in the content? I don't think so.
No. Now, talking of content, see where I'm going with this. See what I did there? You mentioned content.
Yeah, I was very
impressed. And now I'm using that as a segue into content. How do you come up with good content for a blog? Which is, I know, is a very easy question to ask. It probably takes about a million years to come up with some answers.
Yeah. Well, that's a difficult question. I think, you know, when I first started blogging, I wasn't really sure what I was blogging about or the point of it. I wasn't even thinking about monetizing. It was just a bit of fun. So I wrote about what I was passionate about. So I think there needs to be you need to write about something that you're passionate about.
Mm.
And so that's the first thing. But the second thing is you need to do some research. So a great way is to find out what people are asking, so that you are going to be answering and providing value to people. So you can, there's a number of platforms out there. So depending on what your industry is, but you could go to a site such as Quora.com, which I love. It's a place where people are asking questions. And so if you find questions in your particular niche that people are asking, then why don't you answer those on a blog? There's another tool that I love, and it's called BuzzSumo. And BuzzSumo is kind of like a search engine for content based on how much they're shared.
Mm.
So, for example, if you're like writing about personal finance, you just search for personal finance, and you'll see the top content the most shared content for personal finance, and so you can find out the kind of content that people are sharing.
Yeah.
And to get ideas that way. So that's quite often what I do. But also, you know, hopefully we're all engaging with our audience, and we're finding out what questions people are asking. Another technique that I did recently is I launched a Facebook group, which is on live video. And when you get people to join a Facebook group, you can ask them questions. So I asked them two questions in order for them to join the group. And the first question was, what are your main struggles with live video? And I can't remember what the second question was. Anyway, there was another question.
I'm sure it was equally as intelligent.
I'm sure it was very intelligent. And so when people joined, I've got all these amazing questions that people, or these problems that people are struggling with. And so I've got almost like an infinite number of blog posts I could write from that. And these are real struggles that people are facing. Because at the end of the day, you want to be seen as an expert in your field, and you want to be seen as somebody who is really, really helpful and delivering value.
Mm. Now, I know that probably your main speciality at the moment is this whole notion of using video or live video to sort of develop your brand and get the message out. A lot of people are a bit scared by video. I mean, they have a bit of a problem getting their head around the tech, and they feel a bit scared by video. What would you say to those people?
Well, I will say one thing which you might be surprised to hear is, first of all, if it, live video may not be, or video may not be for you. You know, it's not for everybody. But I think we have to realize that video is incredibly powerful, and a lot of people out there are looking for video content. It's you know, with the likes of Netflix and YouTube becoming massive, massive platforms, people are looking for that content. So, but that being said, I think a lot of us are actually going to be okay with doing video or producing video. It's just we need to get through a couple of barriers, and we've all got various barriers to producing video. I'll talk about one barrier, which is the tech. You know, so it's becoming so much easier these days to produce video or live video, because there's only two things you need. For live video, there are two things you need. So that is a smartphone and internet connection. And if you're just producing normal video, you don't even need an internet connection necessarily.
Yeah.
So, you know, decent smartphone. And what's important for live video is the upload speed. So make sure you check with a speed test like speedtest.net and make sure you've got an internet speed of at least 4 megabits per second, preferably higher.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm a great believer in bootstrapping your live video studio. Just start small, and that you don't have to get everything. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands of pounds or dollars on a live video studio. You just keep building it from the beginning. But you see, I think the tech can be a bit of a red herring, a bit of an excuse.
Yeah.
Because I remember this. I thought I needed to get my background sorted. I needed to get lights. I needed to upgrade my camera.
Yes.
And then I realized I'm just coming up with excuses, because actually, to be quite frank, I'm scared of getting in front of the camera. It's we're making ourselves vulnerable in front of the camera. And so I think that's the main barrier that people struggle with, is confidence and putting yourself in front of the camera. The third issue, which is probably the least, is what content am I going to share?
Mm.
And obviously coming up with that. So I think the top one is the confidence, getting in front of the camera. Second barrier is the tech. And then the third one is the content.
And I'm guessing with the content, Ian, it's a bit like blogging. It's a bit of preparation and making lists and coming up with ideas and having a rough plan. Yes. Would that be about right?
My goodness, you've used the word plan. Yeah, and that's the problem, I think, because with particularly with live video, I mean, the great thing about live video is, unlike blogging, I mean, I spend a huge amount of time researching and creating the content. It takes me, that's why I'm not a hugely prolific blogger, because the articles that I produce are like massive, you know, kind of tens of thousands of words sometimes, you know, that I want to deliver as much value as possible. But with live video, you can just click the live button and you're away, and you can produce content really, really quickly and easily. But the danger of that is that you don't do any planning. You just click live button, and then you then wing it. And so I think sometimes that's okay if you're wanting to do some off the cuff content, but generally speaking, I think you do need to plan. You do need to have an idea of what you're going to be talking about, so that it's going to be really, really valuable for your audience. Because otherwise, you know, people are going live just for the sake of going live, and that's not going to do anyone any good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now, I just want to touch on something that you've noticed on your website, that you've been on quite a few podcasts as a guest. And I was wondering what you thought of podcasts as another form of content marketing, and perhaps how they compare to video, the differences.
Oh, I'm a huge podcast fan. I mean, I've been consuming podcasts, since the early noughties, really. And I think what I love about podcasts is the intimacy that you have. You know, when people are listening to you, you know, they're kind of inserting you into their ears, which sounds a bit painful, but it's a very intimate platform. And, you know, I've dabbled in podcasting myself. Quite a few years ago, I had a podcast, and I'm thinking of launching a new one this year. It's a way that really no other platform out there, you're getting people who are going to be listening to you, to your voice, for half an hour or even an hour every week, if that's how often you do it. Whereas with, I do totally believe in the power of live video and video, but I think with podcasting, it's you're going to build your tribe, a passionate tribe, almost more so, because people are going to be listening to you wherever they go, whether that they're walking, they're in the car, and of course, watching live video while you're driving is not a good idea.
No. Don't do it.
And certainly don't broadcast the live video when you're driving. Actually, I've seen people do. My goodness. So, so I'm a total believer in podcasting. I see total power in doing blogging, live video, and podcasting, and that's something that. Those are the three main content formats that I'm focusing on over the next year. And there are ways of actually, you know, you can do both. You can convert a live video into a podcast, and you can convert that then into a blog. You can repurpose things. So that's another thing to think about.
We often hear when sort of social media pundits talk about podcasts, well, when we all talk about podcasting, you often hear mention that it's, I think you mentioned it was a very intimate thing, but they also say it's a very sort of authentic way of communicating with people. Do you feel that live video has that same authenticity or not? Do you think they're very similar in that
respect? Yes. Well, I will say it obviously depends on how you do it.
Yeah.
I would argue that live video is even more authentic because, you know, I'll be honest, there are some podcasts that I've listened to where I've actually stopped listening because they're too perfect.
Yes, yes. I know what you mean.
They're almost too polished. And I'm not, I mean, I think there are things about podcasting which are really important. Such, I do think the quality of the audio is of paramount. But the thing about live video, actually, that raw authenticity where things go wrong, like, you know, I've had it on a live show when my co-host, the cat jumped on the table, the webcam fell over. It was hilarious. And of course, we couldn't cut that out, but people were so engaged in finding that so funny. If that happens on your podcast, you would edit it out, probably. So I think there's room for both. I think both are authentic, but I think with live video, it's almost, I use the phrase, it's kind of heightened authenticity. It's authentic, but it's obviously still, you know, you're putting the energy into it more than you would do if you were just speaking with friends down the pub. But it's probably more authentic than a standard podcast, or generally speaking.
Just want to talk about tools, actually, because I think are you still known as the tools guy, which is a slightly unfortunate title. Good job there's an S on the end of tools there.
Yeah. Oh dear, yes. Well, exactly. I mean, I specialize a lot in tools and I've got a whole blog post over a ridiculous number of tools that I use and I recommend on a daily basis.
Well, let's just have a quick game of tools bingo because I mean, I love productivity and tools. Well, but by the way, audience, when I'm saying tools, I don't mean literally like your dad used to have with the toolbox and spanners and things. I'm talking about, you know, apps and programs you run on your desktop and physical stuff as well. But what would you say would be in terms of productivity for a sort of live streaming marketer? I'm saying this, but they're probably going to be quite generic productivity tools. What are your sort of top three favorite productivity tools?
And I only have to pick three. That is just so hard. I mean,
or maybe we'll let you have five.
Well, so I mean, I think there are some more general tools. So I'll mention some general tools. So I mean, I think a password manager is absolutely a must. So I use LastPass, but 1Password is another one.
Yeah.
I don't know how people cope without that kind of thing, to be quite honest. And obviously you know, make sure you've got kind of a decent email provider. I mean, I use Gmail. For productivity, if you do use Gmail, I love Sanebox.
Sane, as in S-A-N-E.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sanebox. Yeah. And basically what that does, it links in. It may integrate with other platforms, but I definitely know it integrates with Gmail.
Yeah.
And it filters all the email in your inbox and moves all the less important email to another folder called Sane Later. So the great thing about this is I check my inbox multiple times a day, but I only see the important email. And then maybe once a day, I'll go into my Sane Later folder and I'll quickly go through that. Most of the stuff in there, I just archive straight away because I don't need to read it.
Mm.
And then there's other folders, like you can add Sane News for newsletters. So again, I go into that probably once a day and I'll archive most of it or read the ones I really want to read. So if you're into the whole getting things done, what do you call it, ideology or whatever it is.
Yes, methodology. That's the one.
Not that's ideology. The word. then it's a really, really good tool. So I use that. And then if we're on to productivity, I use Text Expander, which I think it's available on PC and Mac. And that is fantastic because, you know, if I want to paste in my bio, then I've got semicolon bio for bio. That prints that out. If I want to send my headshot, I just put in semicolon headshot and it will paste that in. If I want to sign off an email, best wishes Ian, I just do semicolon BW and that's put. So it's just a quick and easy way. It's shortcuts that will speed up things.
And does that work across all apps, Ian?
It's just you install that on your computer and it will just paste it. So if you're in Gmail or if you're on anything, it's great. So I think those would be my main ones in terms of a social media management tool. So if you're posting and scheduling to all the various platforms, then I started off on Hootsuite, but in the past 3 or 4 years, I've been really falling in love with a tool called Agora Pulse. And Agora Pulse is great because it integrates with all the main networks, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Plus, and Instagram and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's great in the way that you can go through all your mentions and messages across all the platforms and just go through them one by one and get down to inbox zero. They disappear from view. So you've got that you can get rid of those quickly and easily. And you can even, if you've got a team, you can even delegate it to team members as well.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool. So that's definitely helped me be more productive.
Fantastic.
And then finally for live video, so there's a number of tools. If you're a Mac user, I highly recommend checking out Ecamm Live. Because that's very, very easy to use. If you're a PC user, there's OBS Studio, which is where I started. It's a little bit tricky to use, but it's free and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then there's also Wirecast, but that's a bit more expensive.
Wirecast, as in wire?
Wirecast, yeah. But it's $700, so you've got to be really, really kind of wanting to take things to the next level and willing to pay for it.
Well, send us links for those, that'd be good, and I'll get them put in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
So, our listeners, if we have people listening who are sort of wondering about using probably live video as a way of getting their message out there, building an audience, what would be your one top thing to think about for them?
I think you need to have a plan and you need to have a strategy. Don't just do it. Don't just do what I did and just do it for the sake of it. Have a plan, have a strategy. And obviously think it through, but then just get on and do it. And I think what I would suggest is, many of us, maybe kind of working in a micro business, there's just one or two of us. And that's tricky, to get that motivation. So I highly recommend joining up with some other people, form a kind of an accountability group where you say, look, we're all of us want to go live in the next month or so. Let's get together and be accountable and help each other go live. In a private group, for example, you could go live to adjust each other and build your confidence with the idea of going live publicly.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, Ian. How can our listeners find out more about you and the various things that you do, select performers, etc.?
Yeah, so you can check out my website. That's so Select Performers website is just selectperformers.com, and my main website is ieg.me. I've got something called the Confident Live Marketing Academy launching very soon. So you can find that just by going to ieg.me/products/academy. And you can find out more about that. If you're interested in going live and you're a bit scared, then that will help you there. And I'm scattered across the internet. Just search for my name. You'll find me.
Ian Anderson Gray. But that's Gray with an A, isn't it? G-R-A-Y.
It is. Yeah. No, my parents thought they're Scottish and they were thinking about spelling my first name Ian the Scottish way, I-A-I-N.
Oh, yes.
But they had pity on me because they knew that my surname would be spelled incorrectly all the time. So.
And is Anderson your middle name? Or is Anderson Gray like a double-barreled surname?
It's a middle name. So actually the story of that very quickly is when I was doing a lot of singing, I was a member of Equity.
Yeah.
And when you're a member of Equity, you have to have a unique name, but actually it's quite good because it's very you can find me very easily if you just put my full name into Google. So it was a good idea.
Well, thanks, Ian, and thanks to our listeners for listening. Show notes, usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review, because that helps us to continue to bring you better marketing advice and ideas. Questions and suggestions for future topics and things like that, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. We also have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Ian.
I'll see you very soon. Bye.
Thanks, Ian, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.